Lord, have mercy indeed. I'll be reading our second lesson later in the midst of the sermon, but as we begin, will you pray with me? Gracious God, open our ears to the words that you would have us hear this day. Open our eyes to see what is good and true. Open our hearts to be persuaded of your love. This we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. The story of the Garden of Eden, we know it well, don't we? We know how the serpent spoke to the woman, enticing her to eat of the forbidden fruit, the knowledge of good and evil. We know how the woman saw how delightful the fruit appeared, how desirable it would be to taste it. We know how the woman reached for the fruit and ate and gave some to her husband, and he ate. We know how their eyes were opened, and for the first time they saw their nakedness. For the first time they saw their nakedness and felt ashamed. We know how this story goes, how they point fingers to each other in blame. We know how, even after eating the fruit that's supposed to give them the sense of what is good and what is evil, they're still pointing fingers at each other, not able to grasp the truth. Or maybe it's the case that they did know the difference between good and evil, and knowing it, couldn't face the truth of their own sin. We know this story. And do we notice that they never do apologize? They never do confess their sin. They never take responsibility. They just keep pointing fingers at each other and the snake, and even at God. You gave me this woman who made me do this. It must be your fault. And in all of this, God still calls to them, "Where are you?" And God still seeks them out and finds them in spite of their very best efforts to hide from God, because, of course, in the end, there is no hiding from God, is there? I love the words of the psalmist that remind me so much of this story. "You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Where can I flee from your spirit? Where can I hide from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If..." Perhaps Adam says to himself and Eve with him, "If I hide behind the trees in the garden, even there your eyes shall find me and your heart shall hold me fast." For there is no hiding from God. Both in our goodness and in our sin, there is no hiding from God. And I love this about our Lord. Jesus once said, "God is like a shepherd who has 100 sheep and one wanders away. And even though there are still 99 sheep left, God will search for that lost sheep through thick and thin, through night and day, until that lost precious lamb is recovered. God finds us. And Jesus said, God is like the parent who will comb heaven and earth to find the lost child, waiting up at night, never giving up, never throwing in the towel, longing for the prodigal to come home, even with no apology, even with no recognition. This is who God is. This is who God has always been. And in our heart of hearts, I hope that we also know that this story is not just about Adam and Eve so long ago and far away. This is how humans are. This is how humans always have been. I hope by now we know this story is about every man and every woman, about us, about our temptations, about our own sin, about our reaching for something that does not belong to us, about our sense that somehow we're exempt from the rules, that somehow we're special, we're entitled, that it's about our inability to admit that we failed God and each other and ourselves, that it's about our own flimsy self-protectiveness, our meager fig leaves that we pretend will hide our shame, but only serve as testaments to our self-delusion. And still, the psalmist writes, if I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there, O God, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me and the light around me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. For, O God, it was you who formed me in my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. So search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. And please, please see if there is any hurtful, wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. We know this story, don't we? And we know that there will be consequences for Adam and Eve and what they have done. There are always consequences, aren't there? There's always fallout for the sins we commit. Fallout that impacts not only ourselves, but every single one of the people that we love. All the people around us, too. So the story continues, not just with God finding us hiding, but with God's will for our redemption. The Lord God said to the serpent, the scripture reads, because you have done this, cursed are you among all wild creatures, and upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And to the woman God said, I will greatly increase your pain in childbirth, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to the man, God said, "Because you have eaten of the tree I commanded you not to eat, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of dust you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." There are consequences. There are always consequences, aren't there? This isn't how it was supposed to be. It isn't how God created the world to be. God meant for man and woman to be equal. God intended for the earth to provide our sustenance. God planned for the ground to be a friend to us. God, who scooped up the dust and the dirt and formed it into humankind. God, who blew his own breath, his own spirit into us to bring us life. God, who birthed us into being in God's own sacred image. Now we have introduced pain and desire, inequity and blood and sweat and tears. And this is not what God intended at the start when God spoke and the world came to life. And it was good. It was very, very good. What shall God do with us? What on earth shall God do with us? Well, the God who created us keeps providing in spite of ourselves. In spite of our foolishness and our hubris, in spite of our presumptuousness that the stop signs don't apply to us, the marriage vows don't apply to us, the alcohol limits don't apply to us, the fair wage rules don't apply to us, the command to love the neighbor, the immigrant, don't apply to us, the command to love the neighbor, the liberal we despise, the conservative we disdain, in spite of our succumbing to our personal desires, the heck with anybody else. In spite of us succumbing over and over and over again to our personal desires, who cares if we grieve the heart of God? In spite of the pain and the sorrow and the disappointment and the rage we have brought into this world, in spite of all of it, God has not given up on us. God will never give up on us. God, who made us, will always keep providing a way forward. And it may not be perfect anymore. It may not be Eden anymore. It will not be innocent anymore. But God will keep providing a way for us to live in this world that we have damaged. And God will continue to provide a way for us to have life. And there's one more piece in this story. I love the way this story ends. I love after the sin that Adam and Eve and the serpent have committed. I love after the consequences that God has given because of their sin. I love that there's one more thing still that God provides. For this is how the story ends. God sees that they are clothed only in fig leaves. And God sees that they're ashamed. So God provides for them garments, clothing, that they might never be ashamed. God covers their shame, and God keeps covering our shame again and again and again. The story of Scripture is one of purity and innocence, and then of sin and failure. But it never ends in sin and failure, does it? For God keeps providing. God keeps providing a way forward and a cover for our shame and new life at the last. God keeps providing a future and a hope. God keeps providing grace. In the weeks ahead, bit by bit, in the stories of Scripture that will follow, I invite you to watch how that story unfolds. How God keeps reaching out again and again to the beloved creation with love and life and grace. Watch how God keeps making all things new in the covenant with Abraham and Sarah. Watch how God keeps seeking and finding the Israelites who are lost in slavery in Egypt and lost in the wilderness and lost in their sin. Watch how God keeps clothing the sinful rulers and kings and providing a way forward for the vulnerable people. Until at the end, God provides more than we could ask or imagine, and surely much more than we would ever deserve. Till God provides his own Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem the beloved creation and repair what we have broken, to reach with outstretched arms, to find and embrace the lost children and bring them home. Once long ago in the garden, Adam and Eve, the two of them, reached for the forbidden fruit and they ate of it. And their eyes were opened and they recognized that they were naked and they were ashamed. But that's just the beginning of the story. It is not how the story ends. So many years later, after Jesus is given and dies on the cross for us, two of his disciples who are lost in grief are walking along the road one day, the two of them, and someone comes and finds them and goes with them. And when they come to the end of their journey, he invites them to sit down and take a piece of bread and eat it, and their eyes are opened, and they recognize him. God will keep finding us, for we can never hide, and God will keep providing for us, recreating life within us until we see God's deepest grace, God's profound, amazing grace for us.